God was telling him. I think that I, and maybe you, are a bit like Ahaz sometimes. We become so afraid of our problems that we fail to see the solution standing right there in front of us. Ahaz didn't trust God. I think maybe Ahaz saw trusting God as costing him too much. So he hung around looking for a more convenient fix. And he thought that fix would be the Babylonians, but it wasn't. When we fail to factor God into our lives, we do the same kinds of dumb things, don't we? Let's look at another, look together tonight at what God has promised us in this prophecy. We know the prophecy is dual in nature, but we know it refers to Jesus because of scripture reading we had said so, right? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. That's verse 14. And Matthew records this as was read in our scripture reading today. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. The word Jesus means Savior, for he will save his people from their sins. And then this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said, spoken by the prophet. And then he quotes Isaiah 7, verse 14. In Luke, the first chapter, verse 31 through 34, Luke explains that the virgin birth of Christ was recognized in this prophecy by Isaiah to King Ahaz. But our concern today is with his name, and his name is Emmanuel. Would you bow with me and let's go to the Lord in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of he who is with us. We come to you in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Bless our study of your word. Bless us that we can learn from it and grow closer to you. We've mentioned many, Father, in our prayers tonight, and we ask that you remember them and that you comfort them and you be with them. There are others that we don't even know about that are anticipating surgeries and are worrying about things, Father. Help them to realize what we're going to learn tonight, and that it's you're with them. Bless us as we study your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Because of Jesus, God is with us. I mean, you can't hardly build on that thought. But from the beginning of existence of Israel, God's desire was to dwell with Israel. He pitched his tent, the tabernacle, right in the middle of their camp. Remember? This was a wonderful thing, but it was also a dangerous thing. It was dangerous because Israel was sinful. And God told them over and over again, if you keep on sinning, I'm liable to come out here, break out against you, and consume you. And so if you read the book of Leviticus, it has sacrifice after sacrifice, every day sacrifices because of their sins, so that God could stay in that tabernacle. Many things they had to do. It's full of instructions. And sometimes, like in the 10th chapter of the book of Leviticus, Nadab and Abihu came before God with strange fire. They're a little bit inebriated, taking God for granted, and God's wrath broke out and burned them to the ground, didn't it? On another occasion, the Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant, put it on an ox cart, and sent it back to Israel. David went and fetched the Ark, and he carried it on that ox cart that the Philistines had built, which, by the way, was not a prescribed manner, was it? And he was carrying it back, and a guy named Uzzah, the oxen stumbled, and he put his hand up to stabilize the ark, keep it from falling, and God's wrath broke out, and Uzzah died. In both of these instances, Israel took the holiness of God's presence lightly. And I don't think God likes that. There's a lesson here for us, but this is not the thrust of this lesson. So let me show you two things I want you to notice from what we've seen. First of all, we are so accustomed to sin, you and I, that we take it too lightly. Isaiah writes, "Behold, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear dull that he cannot hear you, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you." That's God can't even look at a sinner. And God made the removal of sin his priority and his eternal purpose. There's good news coming. Stick with me for this bad stuff, all right? Secondly, not only are we sort of accustomed to sinful things, but secondly, God will not tolerate taking his righteousness lightly. Because that is who he is. He's righteous. He is holy. And to make God common or base is an insult he will not tolerate. But in spite of the fact that King Ahaz could win awards when it came to sinning, God wanted to help him, didn't he? It was his desire to get Ahaz to turn to him so that he could protect him from his enemies. But Ahaz sadly refused God. You see, the desire of God that he showed in Israel is that he wants to dwell among us. You know, he walked and talked with Adam and Eve before they sinned. That's what God wants, back again. That kind of relationship. And that is the thrust of his salvation for us from our sins. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to an open shame, triumphing over them in him. You see, he's talking about the cross, which disarmed rulers and authorities, whether they be spiritual or physical. Jesus proved that our God has the power over death. You can't kill him. He also proved that God has the power to forgive. He is stronger. His righteousness is superior to sin. And this was demonstrated on the cross. But Paul also says something about the cross in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. He said that the mystery of God's purpose, he said, speaking of that mystery, Paul says, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that has been realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. I don't know if you just heard what he said, but God has taken sin away. It's gone. So that he can have fellowship with us. Our living by faith in Jesus explains to the world the wisdom of God. Our living by faith gives us access and confidence because now God is with us. The prophecy found in Isaiah 7, verse 14, has come to pass. 24/7, God is with us. Through Jesus' work on the cross and through our obedience of faith, when we obey the gospel God removes our sins. In the process, we are made dead to the flesh and alive in the Spirit. And God sends His Holy Spirit to dwell in us, according to Acts 2, verse 38. Now God is with us. God calls this walking in the light. Now, when we talk about spiritual things, I don't understand all I know about my spirit, but I know I've got one. I don't understand all I know about the Holy Spirit, but I know He's in me. Is there a comfort in that? Is there a truth in that? God is with me. He's with you, isn't He? When we lie down to go to sleep, God is with us. If Harold has that surgery, when they put him under, God will be with him. When we rise to go to work, God's with us. When we sit down to eat, God is with us. And that's the reason Christians can't eat without praying first, right? When we sit down and watch a movie, God is with us. When we turn the TV on, God is with us. He may not stay with us, but He's with us. Is there a benefit to God's presence? Yes, of course there is. God knows us. There is a spiritual unity inside us between our spirit and God's spirit that you can't smell and you can't taste. You don't know what's happening, except we know what's happening because the Bible tells us. God knows our fears. God knows whether or not you're serious or not, doesn't He? God knows your motivations. God knows your heart because He's with us. When we pray, He understands our prayers because He knows why we're praying, doesn't He? Will God go with us everywhere we go? Bible says you can grieve the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus is here with us tonight. He's dwelling in the heart of every Christian here. I think His Spirit's so thick here, you can cut it with a knife. Some who are indwelt by that Spirit aren't with us tonight, but we're here this morning. I think God's with them wherever they are, but I wonder what God's thinking. It's possible to grieve the Spirit, but it's comforting to know that God is with us. Because God is with us, He will protect us. This is a lesson Ahaz couldn't learn. Isaiah said, if you don't stand by faith, you won't stand at all. And he didn't. They didn't even bury him. As we said before, Ahaz was a champion of sin, and it's sin, and it is sin that did him in the end. But it really wasn't Ahaz's sin that put the fear in his heart. You know, our text said when the house of David was told Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of the people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. No, it was Ahaz's lack of faith that did him in and consumed him with fear. It is possible for us to suffer the same kind of lack of faith. We know that God is with us, but do we always realize it? God is with us to protect us. Paul said, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? In Romans 8, 31 and 32. If God is here with us, who can bring a charge against us? Who would dare bring a charge if God is with you, right? If the Spirit of Him who sits at the right hand of the Father is in a resurrection body, dwells in you, who's going to accuse you of anything? They wouldn't dare, would they? If the Spirit of Jesus dwells in you, will God hear you when he intercedes for you? Of course he will. Can distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword defeat the spirit of him who dwells in us? No. What if you have cancer? Can God protect you from cancer? Yes. Someone says, yeah, but you might die. Well, if you die, can death destroy you? Isn't death listed as one of the things that can't hurt you? There's comfort because God is with us. If your spouse leaves you, will God be with you? Yes. If your spouse dies, will God be with you? Yes. And if you're having trouble, God will guide you and direct you into paths of righteousness. If you lose all your money, will God be with you? Yes. If you have a son or a daughter that goes crazy, does something stupid, that breaks your heart, will God go through it with you? Yes. He will guide you. He will protect you. He will comfort you. But he wants you to realize that he's there. Don't ignore him. And that leads to our last point. I want to say something about VBS. That was one of the announcements I meant to mention. If God's not with us tomorrow at VBS, we might as well not even go. Do you know that? Guess what we need to be praying? God be with us, right? Will he be with us? Yes, he will. And we haven't been saying very much about our VBS, but there's been some people in this congregation that have worked their heads off. The Spirit of God has led them to that work. We need to be praying for their efforts. Got kids? Bring them. Because this leads to our last point. Not only will God protect us, but he will also ensure our victory against the one who wants to send us to hell. That's Satan, isn't it? Every time Satan ever faced up with Jesus, he lost, right? And if Jesus' spirit is in you, guess who's going to lose when it comes to you? The Apostle Paul made a list of things that cannot overcome us. Death cannot overcome us because God is with us. Life cannot. I mean, death is one time and it's over, but life goes on and on and on and on, doesn't it? Life cannot separate us from God because God is going to be with us. Angels cannot separate us from God because God is with us. Rulers, he's talking about not only earthly rulers like president, but spiritual rulers in the heavenly places, they cannot, because God is with us. Nothing in the present world, nor anything to come, will defeat us because God is with us. Powers will not. Heavenly powers or earthly powers can overcome us because God is right here with us. Height nor depth, nor anything else in all of God's creation cannot harm us because the Creator is with us. Nothing in all God's creation can separate us from God because he loves us. He's with us. Our problem is we don't realize it. You remember when Jesus was in a boat sleeping on a cushion and his disciples wake him up and they say, Master, don't you care if we drowned? And he turns to them and he said, O ye of little faith. Who was with them? God was with them. When God's in the boat's safe. And so Jesus says, O ye of little faith. They had a long ways to go. Do you and I have a long ways to go too? I think so sometimes. Our destiny will be determined by whether or not God is with us or not. There's two things God will say on the day of judgment. One of the things he might say is, who are you? Ooh, you don't want to hear that, do you? What's the other thing he says? Well done, good and faithful servant. And if God's in you, he knows you, doesn't he? So our destiny will be determined by whether or not God is with us. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. If we find ourselves without God, it won't be God who moved. In our study of 1 John, John says, do not love the world or anything in the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, we studied that a long time ago in our class. In verse 17, he says, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. God knows what your will is. He knows what you want more than anything. Do you want him more than anything, or do you want worldly things? He knows, doesn't he? A worldly person lives his life in the flesh, seeking the things of the world. And God is not there. He won't be there. If a worldly person dies without God, he dies separated from God, and his death becomes his destiny. I don't want that, do you? I don't want that. Not worth it. That's where Ahaz was. That's how Ahaz, they didn't even bury him, did they? But a Christian names Jesus as Lord. He cannot go anywhere. He cannot do anything where God is not with him, because the Spirit of God dwells in him. When he sleeps, God's there. When he eats, God's there. When he worships God in the church, he's there. When he watches a movie, God's with him. When by faith Christians become a Christian, he starts out by being united with Christ in baptism in his death. And guess what dies first? The flesh. We die to the flesh. And we change, our life takes up residency not in the flesh anymore, but in the Spirit by faith. And we begin a newness of life, which is lived by faith. And the new life is spiritual instead of fleshly. So when the flesh dies, and all flesh will, a Christian's new life continues, because guess who's with him? Because God is with us. What did the psalmist say, David, in the 23rd Psalm? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou shalt be with me. You don't have to die alone. God will be with you. The person who walks with God will be saved. The person who leaves God is alone and lost. And Jesus came to be Emmanuel and to be with us. There's an invitation that we want to extend very quickly. God is with us when we are with God. God is with us when we give ourselves to Jesus. God is with us when we trust God's presence and we trust God's promises. Jesus said, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is with us. Is he still with you, or have you left him behind? If you've left him behind, our invitation is to come home. If you've never come to Jesus, why stay outside of Jesus? Because he'll be with you for the rest of your life. If you need to come to Jesus, come now as we stand and as we